Don't you love it when people take justice into their own hands? Sometimes, just sometimes, not all the time. I'm not a big vigilante fan.
No, but I do admire it at times. And what's happened?
Well, this guy who works in the shop near me, I want to say, we'll call him George. George is a European descent, right?
Yeah.
And so he has that, he's got that edge to him where you go, don't fuck with George, mate.
Oh, he'll be over the counter.
You would not go to his shop and rob him. There is no way. So when you go, one of the other customers, because I go there a lot, and he goes, hey, you got to ask George about his running with the law.
Oh, great.
So when there's no one around, I go, George, tell us what he goes, oh, mate. It's Easter Sunday, mate. I'm in the backyard. So he lives on the fringes of Melbourne, right out.
Yeah, but the shop is in the inner city with me, right?
But he has moved to the fringes of Melbourne.
Yeah.
Right? He likes the bushy kind of vibe. Yeah, nice. There's a lot of space. Yeah, nice. It's a Sunday, mate, having a barbecue with the missus. She's cooking some fish, very nice, a few friends over, right? All of a sudden, this noise, like zzzz. My wife thinks it's like bees, and she runs in because she's allergic to bees, right? Mm. It's a drone.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
It's drones buzzing over his house. Bzzz, bzzz, and he's like, oh, all right, I'm going to get my gun. So
he goes and gets
his gun, right?
As you do.
Yeah, he's got a gun lock. He's a responsible gunner, and he's got like a lock and a safe and whatever. He goes and gets his shotgun out. I don't know what sort of gun it is. I think it's a shotgun. He goes, all right, I gave him two warning shots. So he's two warning shots.
Yeah, he's fair.
Bang, bang in the air. He goes, the drone comes even closer. It's literally like the height of a roof, of a normal roof.
Yeah.
Sort of buzzing over his backyard, right?
Mm.
He goes, no, that's it. So he takes a shot and I go,
takes it down?
Yeah, I go, did you hit it? He goes, come on, mate, of course I hit it. So he winged it and they go, and his wife goes, what have you done, George? He's like, oh, mate, I'm fucked anyway. And he just goes, bang, and takes it out. So it just goes crashing into a paddock, right? The guy controlling it, this neighbour across, comes running. What? Did you shoot my drone? And he's like, yeah. And the neighbour goes, you're a fucking asshole. He goes, oh, that's it. He goes, before that point, I was quite happy to pay for it and apologise.
Yeah, because you called him an asshole.
But once you called him an F and a-hole, he goes, no, that's it. He goes, you call the cops. And so this guy called the cops. George gets charged with letting off a gun in an urban area.
We have our own property where it's breaking and entering to come within a property. But is there in terms of airspace?
Yeah, I don't know about that. It's a good question. But the cops anyway had to go down to the police station and the cops showed him a photo of the drone. So
it was stuffed, was it?
Like a dead carcass. And a cop goes, "You got a good mate." George is like. George goes, can you get me a copy of that? He's like, yeah, I'll get you a copy. He's stuck it up on his wall. He's got his drone.
Because it is intrusive and in some ways offensive.
So annoying.
And you've got to ask, I mean, if you can see someone over your back fence, that's okay. But if you sort of get up and look over the back fence, you go, that's inappropriate. And that's what a drone does. It can look in windows. Yeah. It can do anything.
Yeah.
It's fair. They've got to look at the laws because there's only going to be more of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and as we know, it stops airports and, and they're using them in warfare now, like in Saudi Arabia. They had a drone attack.
They've been using the drones all the time where you can sit back wherever you are in your little and type a few keys into your keyboard and boom, blow something up. But that because they've got cameras on them and you can buy them and you can learn to use them relatively easily.
Yeah.
Well,
good on George. More power.
Good on George being a vigilante and. It must have been very satisfying when he did that kill shot.
I'm fucked now. Bang.
Because I got up on my roof once, and that's what I found up there. I found, after Christmas Day, because we've got a two-story house, toy drones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, two or three of them. Yeah.
Two or three of them?
Well, no, it was two, I think.
Wow.
It's just like they've come out Christmas Day, gone to the backyard. It's gone. It's on the roof.
They could be the paps looking for that nude shot of you.
Because that's what I thought you were going to say, that it was the cops and they were looking for crops.
No. No, they do that as well, yeah.
Because that would be a great way to do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
Oh, here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, Oh, yeah, welcome to the podcast. It's a drone-free zone here. We've got George outside with
We read a sketch about that, all right, for that show.
Open Slather. Did we?
Yeah, and they didn't do it. It was a good sketch. It was where the drones got to the point where they were like blowflies, and people.
Oh, that's right.
And they were sitting having a chat. And, oh god, there's a bloody drone in here. Oh, did you open? Who left the window open? Just shoo it out. Shoo it out.
we had some great ideas.
Yeah, we had some great ideas for that show.
We'll get them all out and film them again one day.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get our subjects. It's self-explanatory. Two subjects.
From Sam, not related, which are related, which are somehow related.
They don't seem to be related.
They don't seem to.
Thanks, Sam.
Nagasaki and honeymoons.
Wow. So we talked about Fukushima the other day, didn't we?
Fukushima was because of the tsunami.
Yeah, but Nagasaki was the second
World War, so that would have been 45. And there was one of two bombs, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hiroshima.
And then Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Nagasaki was a few days later, I think. It was...
The fellas Chudabaki and the woman Waki Waki Woo.
Oh, really?
Back in Nagasaki.
I don't. You know, the thing about Nagasaki is that I don't know why. Why did they target Nagasaki? What was the name of the plane that dropped the bomb in Hiroshima?
Anola Gay. What were the name of the bombs?
Oh, gee, I don't know that.
Little Boy and Fat Man.
Oh, well, that's a bit of trivia.
Yeah.
I know Anola Gay because there's a great song, Anola Gay, about that. And by OMD. Anyway, little 80s band.
Okay.
Nagasaki. I'd like to go to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and see the stuff there.
Well, I think they did something on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago, and they did that series. You can go back to Chernobyl. Surely there must be still in the...
Health risk?
Would have to be.
Yeah.
What, do you take a Geiger counter?
Yeah.
Oh, God. But surely... You couldn't go back to Nagasaki without...
No, I think people live there, like Hiroshima. They all live there now.
On the 60 Minutes, they were showing the birth defects.
Hideous.
It's just horrendous. Yeah,
terrible, terrible.
So sad.
I mean, it's just... Well, I mean, what made them... They reckon that Japan was so aggressive that they had to drop these bombs.
Yeah.
It's pretty full on, though.
Yeah, so. It's just like... Oof.
We're going to show you what we've got. Here you go.
Apparently they obliterated, they just left shadows of things.
Oh wow!
To the point, so it was just like it was a shadow on the ground of people, a shadow on the ground of
really,
yeah. It wasn't like you know, like an explosion. It was just like complete obliteration. Didn't you love it when they did the testing though for the bombs and they would watch it happen like the
bunker cloud.
But they did the smart thing as it was going off. They turned away.
Yeah.
You'd be safe if you just turn away.
Just turn away, guys.
Just turn around just for a second and you can go back and watch the big plume in the sky. Oh, the big mushroom cloud.
So full on.
Yeah.
Such a full on thing to do.
I hate to say it, but a lot of lives are lost.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
50,000, 60,000, I think.
Yeah. My kids always ask me because, you know, I think kids go through that thing where they get obsessed by nuclear bombs and think earthquakes, you know.
Your kids are good, though. Your kids are really interesting. They are inquisitive to things beyond video games and what's on Instagram.
Well, we don't let them play much video games. We don't have any PlayStations or stuff in the house. So we're quite rare. It's only like about – the percentage of parents that don't have a console is like 5%.
You're a member. You are a cult, though. You're a cult, aren't you?
We're Amish. That's right. We're Amish. Yeah, we make our own milk and we've got a barn.
You wear robes.
My wife wears her head covered.
Yeah. You have a number of wives.
I have a number of wives. That's right.
It's all working out fine.
It's fine. It's what you're into. That's what you're into. But
so what would be the number one place to bomb?
Oh, where were they hitting Australia? Because my kids asked that. Would we be okay if they hit Melbourne? No, we wouldn't be okay.
No.
If you're in Ballarat, you might be all right.
And with nuclear, is everywhere reachable now?
Yeah, I'd say so. I reckon Sydney would be first, wouldn't it?
Sydney.
I did a joke the other night, which I used to do in the 90s, about when Steve Brax was a Premier of Victoria. And this is true, that there was a potential terrorist threat. And John Howard came on the news and said, yeah, it's probably going to be in Sydney. And then I go, Braxy comes on and goes, oh, no, Melbourne's got a lot to offer terrorists.
We've got the trams, we've got the West Coast Bridge.
Classic. It's an O'Neill classic from the 90s.
The Art Centre.
The Art Centre. I reckon Sydney would be the target. Sorry for people living in Sydney. I reckon Adelaide would be fine. Perth, so fine.
Buy property in Tasmania.
Yeah.
New Zealand.
Oh.
New Zealand.
Lonnie's not going to get hit.
No. Lon says
be really safe in Burnie. Incredibly safe.
It would be. Because they wouldn't bot it. They'd just go. Oh,
they go Sydney and then they go Melbourne.
You reckon they go Sydney first?
Yeah, I reckon.
They go bang, bang. And that'd be it.
Bit of the Gold Coast.
Cause a bit
of the Goldie.
What do they say? Cause a bit of development up there, really.
Yeah. They go a bit of the Goldie. But is it interesting how in World War II they only hit Darwin, didn't they? Because that's as far as
that
it
was
would go.
Closest. Yeah, that was the closest, though, wasn't it? Mm. But with Japan, why would they not have gone? What's the capital of?
Yeah, Tokyo.
Yeah.
Or Kyoto, which is the traditional capital.
So or maybe they were going for areas that were industrial heavy.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Maybe they
militaristic.
Were, yeah, yeah.
I think you're right. Because why didn't they go Kyoto? I've never been. I've been to Tokyo, but
imagine that being in that meeting.
Oh, I know.
Going, here's the map.
Where we're going to hit.
What are you going to hit? And in your hands lies the
thousands, millions, whatever.
Yeah.
Terrible. Going,
you know what? I think we'll go there instead of there.
Hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah. The power of just a few people. Probably been five, ten people sitting around.
Sitting around.
Generals, the president.
Yep. Yep. And that was interesting because that was back in the day when they weren't guided.
No, someone had to fly it.
Had to fly over. The
pilots had to fly
and go,
over.
Bombs away. And one bomb away.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's incredible, isn't it? Imagine if you were the guy who had to put it on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Keith, what? Take it easy with this one. What do you mean?
It's a big one, mate.
It's a big. What do you mean big? I've done this before. No, just don't. When you back it up, just easy on the
probably
brake.
Probably did get delivered on a truck. It was pretty big.
Imagine if it's, yeah. Oh. And what makes them go, this is dumb, but what makes them go off?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they have explosives in the front bit, don't they? They must have explosives.
It's atomic reaction, yeah?
Yeah. But that must be like when we used to make bombs in the park.
Hang on, kids, turn off.
We would put brake fluid in a glass container.
Wow.
And then we would put chlorine in the rest of the bigger container. And then you'd throw it and the glass would smash, the brake fluid would leak out, and then it would form a chemical reaction. So I assume that's what happened, a similar kind of thing.
My only image is the Molotov cocktail, which is lighting a rag, and then the glass explodes with the petrol in it.
Yeah, well, they obviously didn't have a wick or anything like that. They just had they must have.
But do bombs normally go off at their own time, or do they when they hit?
When they hit.
So that caused a reaction, as you said.
Yeah.
Okay. But I thought there were some bombs that went off in their own time that went off.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they got more advanced as they went on. It would be like shrapnel bombs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's just so hideous when you think
It's just so hideous. And we're still capable of it and still threaten each other with it.
Yeah.
You know, we all sort of going, mine is bigger than yours.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, like North Korea, just going, hey, watch this. And they had to do it to sort of let everyone know that they could do it.
Yeah.
We got listeners in North Korea?
Probably not. They're probably not allowed to listen to stuff.
Okay, that's right.
They're probably just getting onto the comedy company.
I
love that. I love that Uncle Arthur.
I know. Is it true? I don't know whether it's true or not, but I remember reading somewhere that they dropped pamphlets to the cities that they were intending to bomb.
Oh.
Yeah.
What for? To inform them?
Say it would be in your best interest to get out of town.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. I hope it was in the right language. Imagine it was in English and you're in Japan. I can't read. What does it
Tony?
Say? It says leave town or something. Oh, wow.
Did you like translate them into Chinese writing? No.
Are you dumping rubbish around?
Don't you love that bit of stand-up routine that Bill Sheff used to do? You can't dispute the bill at a Chinese restaurant because you can't read it.
They can't read it, yeah.
Hey, what did you say? Hey, I didn't have the TV antennas. We didn't have the TV antennas. I had the little pointy one with a little house on top.
I haven't heard that routine.
That's a good routine. Apparently they drop, which is you know, a bit like I got a pamphlet the other day when they said the electricity's going on. I just got a call from Telstra, I think, saying they're about to cut the phone off.
Oh, really?
Because you have NBN in the area.
Yeah.
So you That means you have to take NBN.
Oh, so annoying. Yeah, you have to have NBN. We've got NBN.
To. When it's available, you have to take it.
We went up to the Optus shop and it was just and they're really good. They're very friendly there. And the guy said, "All right, well, the contractor will ring you to book a time to come over."
Mm.
He just turned up at like 8 in the morning. I wasn't there. I was with the kids and my partner, who's not involved, she said, "I don't want to get involved with his NBN." She goes, "There's a guy here, so he's with the NBN." And I said, "But he didn't even ring us and make a booking." And she goes, "You're going to have to come back." And I heard the guy go, "Well, you're going to have to make another booking." And I go, "We didn't make a booking in the first place."
Yeah. Well, you were, it was one of the
so annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying. But anyway, they're only trying to give you something new and exciting.
It seems to be just as slow as the other one. So it's not.
I got to be honest. I went to the shop, organised it. They came, I don't know, a week or so later.
It's all good.
It's all good. And it does work fast. Not that I've downloaded anything inappropriate, but if I did, it would be a lot faster.
Good for people loving porn around Australia. All right, well, let's talk about honeymoons. Yeah?
Let's talk about honeymoons. Yeah, honeymoons.
I mean, you never had a honeymoon. I never had a honeymoon.
No.
About a honeymoon. Honeymoons were bigger in, like, I did a gig last night at the Mitcham Hotel where I grew up, and Mark, my brother, was there with Dad, Kev. And I talk about how Dad met Mum, right? Like he was wearing his Air Force uniform at the Hawthorne Town Hall.
Mm.
And he was 21 or something. Mum was 20. And then I say, why were you wearing your uniform at night? You don't have to wear your... It's a pickup method, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a... You know. Anyway, so then I said, and your honeymoon was where, Dad? He goes, oh, Lakes Entrance. So they got married. There was no hanky-panky beforehand because Mum has told us that.
Yeah.
They went on a holiday to the beach with three couples, and the boys tried to, you know, hey, why don't we swap, you know, bunks? And all the women went, no, we're not. No hanky-panky, boys.
Wow. Before
you just
their
go
time.
You just go to your bunkhouse, boys, and just, do what you have to do.
Yeah.
So Mum and Dad, imagine driving 5 hours. So they had their reception in Melbourne and Richmond, right? They got married at St. Bart's, and then they had to drive 5 hours to consummate their marriage. That's a long drive, isn't it?
It's a long time. It's a long time.
I think in Dad's Volkswagen.
There's a word for it. I think.
What's that?
Which is you? Oh, I forget what the word is. That because you're so tired from the wedding day, you.
Oh yeah, you probably don't consummate the marriage.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You'd be so knackered.
Yeah, and but there's a word that some other you do it some other way just for the. There's a word for it. I won't ask Sam because it would be inappropriate. My parents...
Where'd their honeymoon? What was
They in Melbourne, and they went to Lawn.
Oh, I mean, nice. Nowadays,
to the... Oh, what? The Cumberland? Erskine House. Oh,
Erskine House is still there.
Yes.
I did a gig there the other day. There's a plaque with your parents' faces. They've done it up and it's called Mantra now, but it's still Erskine House is still there. The remnants. It's a beautiful old building, actually.
I took Mum for a drive one day. My mum's 97 in nursing home. Thought I'd take it for a drive around the Great Ocean Road. Okay, I'm a great guy. Get over.
Yeah, whatever. She got sick, but whatever. Vomited.
And she did a thing. I can't remember where, but she told me where I was conceived. I went, No. That's what you don't want to know.
Somewhere along the Great Ocean Road.
It might have been. I blanked it from my memory.
Yeah, fair enough.
If you are with your parents and you want to, interesting thing to do because there's a TV show.
Yeah.
Going back to the actual, if it still existed.
The place where you can see.
The actual stand on the spot.
Wow.
Right here. And see if you feel anything.
What if it's sort of unromantic, like a gravel car park in
Wagga Wagga?
At a drive-in would be the classic, wouldn't it? At a drive-in. It is always funny when, like, they say, so my partner, Kieran, was conceived in India because her mum and dad were missionaries.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were missionaries.
Wow, what a story.
Indian Christian missionaries. And the first son, Andrew, her brother, was born in India, but Kieran was conceived in India. So isn't it funny that when people say conceived in India?
Yeah.
So, okay, you had a root, right? Yeah. That's what they're basically saying.
We had a root in India. But having said that, it does make you feel slightly more important.
It does.
Oh, yeah. My parents consummated me in India.
Yeah.
I was consummated
in... You were in Great Ocean Road.
Yeah.
That was a Lake Entrance Motel.
What do you reckon the number one... See, nowadays, they don't
Surely honeymoons don't have as much pressure on them these days because everyone would have slept with each other.
Do you know what a unimoon is?
Uh-huh.
Here you go. This is interesting. I think it's bigger in the US where people go, look, we love each other and we're getting married, but we really don't want to go on a holiday to the same place. So you go to different places.
No.
Yeah.
Separate holidays.
It's like a solo moon or a uni moon or something.
Oh, wow.
So you have a holiday, but this doesn't make sense, does it? Surely.
It's really weird.
It's too weird. That's going, well, if you can't have a holiday together, surely you've got to be questioning whether you should be spending the rest of your life together. What do you reckon nowadays people tend to go on a bit of a trip.
Mm.
Like your classic would be Fiji.
Bali.
Gold Coast. What about further? For some
Thailand.
But, you know, some people with a bit of the old
coin. Paris.
France. London. South of France.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
But, yeah, I just don't feel there's that pressure on honeymoons anymore.
Well, quite often people will get married and go back to work, won't they?
Yeah, or they put off their honeymoon.
Because if they're paying for the wedding, that's going to be expensive enough as it is.
My brother Trev's getting married soon. You've met Trev, my older brother.
Yeah.
And he's met a lovely woman from Toowoomba.
First time married?
The second time. Right. And they're going to South America for their honeymoon.
So there you go.
Hey, caramba. Yeah, sounds amazing. I mean,
do you think that's a romantic place to go? What's romantic?
That's more adventurous.
What's romantic mean? It's all the sort of stuff that bores you, really, isn't it?
The beach.
Beach.
Nice dinner, wine.
Candles, round a bar.
Time together.
Yeah. Which is, you can do that.
Then after the second day, I might go for a walk for myself around the island.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, seriously, you're annoying me now.
Go, you go.
You go. Yeah, you took too much of the doona last night. It really annoyed me.
Separate rooms time.
Honeymoons.
The honeymoon is over, baby.
Wonder if it's derivative, the word.
I wonder where it's... That's a really interesting point. Where's the word honeymoon from?
Honeymoon.
Let's ask Sam. Sam, where is the term honeymoon from? I've never thought of that.
The etymology of the word comes from the Old English honeymoon. Honey, a reference to honey, refers to the indefinite period of tenderness and pleasure experienced by a newlywed couple and how sweet the new marriage is. Honeymoon was the month after a wedding when the bride's father would give the groom all the mead he wanted. Mead is a honey beer, while the Babylon calendar was a lunar calendar. Honeymoon also has origins that date back to the 5th century, when cultures represented calendar time with moon cycles. Back then, a newlywed couple drank mead during their first moon of marriage.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. I'm not sure.
Honeymoon.
I really understand how that's going to be. Often it takes on a weird meaning and it doesn't quite make sense. But anyway, because you have a honeymoon period.
Yes.
With every
relationship, every job,
everything has a honeymoon.
Every holiday has a honeymoon period.
Does it?
Well, you go on a holiday somewhere, you go, this is great. And then after a while, you're like, oh, it's not that great, is it?
Oh, yeah, right.
And jobs have honeymoon periods.
Are we still in the honeymoon period of this podcast?
I think we are. No, we're in the... separate bedrooms. We've had the honeymoon period. We've had the kids and I think the kids have moved out. We got separate bedrooms.
There was
like my parents. My brother stayed with my parents. They were in their 80s. And you go, sometimes you go in, and one's in the lounge room watching TV, and you go to the rumpus room. They're watching the same program, but they're in separate rooms.
But maybe that's the secret. Maybe that's it really
separation.
Is. Separation and giving each other space and then coming together for the good stuff. It's still doing some stuff together that's good.
Yeah.
But also going, you know what, just being with each other all the time really is a little bit quite annoying.
Drive me crazy.
There was a TV show called The Honeymooners.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge. It was like the first sitcom.
The Flintstones was modelled on The Honeymooners, wasn't it?
And it was a couple that were always fighting.
Really.
Yeah.
Man, they had neighbours.
One of these days...
That's right.
One of these days. And it was domestic violence. It's sort of,
And he was racist and stuff, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. That was Jackie Gleason, I think.
Jackie Gleason, very funny man.
Yeah. And I think I dare say he was probably like a stage act because the show was, I think, shot in front of a light, in black and white, shot in front of a live audience. I reckon it was early 60s, late 50s.
What thinking music can we have? The Honeymooners, Honeymoon. Nagasaki.
I was thinking, is there a marriage on television that was classic?
Oh, Oh, Scott and Charlene from Neighbours.
Oh yeah,
remember the Neighbours wedding? The Neighbours wedding. And they played it. They played a Angry Anderson song. Oh, Rose Tattoo.
Hang on.
Suddenly,
this is. Hang on. It sounds to me like you used to watch Neighbours.
Yeah, I used to watch Neighbours. Yeah, I used to love Neighbours. We used to sit around a shared house and watch Neighbour in the 80s and then kick on to E Street.
Well, I was working at the Comedy Company in that period with, oh. I'd see, you know, Kylie and what's his name?
I saw Danny Minogue today in a raid. I did Nova today and Danny came in.
Yep.
She looks fantastic.
She always, I remember seeing Danny in London about, I reckon, 20 years ago. She looked fantastic.
Well,
have you ever seen her parents?
No.
The parent, well, Danny and, it's not unfair to say that Danny and Kylie are short. They're small people.
They're little, yeah.
But the parents are identical, but they're not short people. Oh. Not identical in that they're quite short.
They're not midgets.
But they're like, and they're the perfect little midgety couple.
Oh, really?
Well, I was caught a plane with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're up the front, and I'm going, you don't really need to be up the front, because surely down the back, the seats are going to be pretty big.
God, it so annoys me when I'm 6 foot and you walk past the exit row, and there's like a midget sitting there. You're like, get out of there. What are you even doing in there? Get out of the exit row, buddy.
That's
a normal seat.
Stephen Wright joke he does about when he goes down the beach and he sees babies in the pram down the beach and go, what are you doing down here? You don't need a break. What are you having a break from? You sleep all day. You don't need to be down the beach having a break.
Well, yeah, let's have a famous. What other famous weddings are there?
What about the Simpsons? Was that funny, their wedding? Yes, it would have been funny. I'm sure they would have had some reminisced. I can't really remember it either, but I'm sure they would have reminisced about it. Any other shows? Oh God!
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah, there's
four weddings and that.
Yeah, they're all on the way to the wedding. That's how that film opens, which she goes, "Fuck, fuck, fuck."
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Late.
Hugh Grant.
She passed away. That girl.
Oh really?
Yeah, she did. Okay. Quite sad. Come on, we're gonna settle on one. Do you want to
go? Let's do the Neighbours.
You want to do the Neighbours one?
Our Neighbours wedding.
I reckon that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Do you, Harold Wayne Bishop, take this woman, Margaret Mary Ramsay, to be your lawful wife? Will you love her, cherish her, honor and protect her in sickness and in health, and, forsaking all others, keep you only unto her for as long as ye both shall live?
I will.
And forsaking all others, keep you only unto him for as long as ye both shall live.
I will.
By the giving and receiving of a ring, and by the joining of hands, I therefore declare them husband and wife, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You may now kiss the bride.
Took me back to my shared house days.
Hang on.
Tear welling up in the eye.
Just hang on a second.
Yeah.
Just blokes in the shared house?
No, there's some girls too.
So yeah. The girls would have turned on the Neighbours?
No, we all liked it.
So you would gather around?
Yeah, we gathered around. Well, you know, back in those days, there was no Netflix, there was no phones, there was no internet. There was just a TV for entertainment, and then we went out. I remember distinctly watching Hey Hey at Saturday and then it finishing and us going out to bands at like 8:30 at night.
Waiting for Hey Hey to finish.
Yeah, then when I got older, you'd watch Hey Hey, then switch over to The Bill, which is on the ABC at 8:30, then you'd stay at home.
And you tell these stories to your kids, they'd love those stories, wouldn't they?
They don't know what The Bill or Hey Hey is. But, yeah, we used to sit around and watch TV, for sure.
Yeah.
And then there were shows that came out like Twin Peaks. Melrose Place was a big one. Used to love that. Beverly Hills 90210, that was 90s.
Yeah, I was big on your sitcoms, you know.
Oh,
Gilligan's
yeah.
Island, Brady Bunch.
I love Gilligan's Island. Love the Brady Bunch.
Jane
Kennedy is a massive Brady Bunch fan.
Is she?
Friend of the show, yep. Oh, knows more about the Brady
Bunch.
Well,
it's burned into you. It's on your hard drive, really, when that stuff, because it goes in such an impressionable time.
I think girls in particular love the Brady Bunch because of the girls that were portrayed were kind of a realistic portrayal of girls at that age, Marcia and Jan and Cindy. I think they were a bit of, I mean, they were a little bit saccharine, but they were pretty spot on the way they used to fight with the brothers and stuff. Here's a story. Okay, Glenn, you have a crack.
I'm struggling here. I'm really struggling.
I'll go first.
Yeah, all right,
I reckon Nagasaki was a, before they bombed it, was, I'm just going to have a guess, was, it's always a guess, was a famous honeymoon spot.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Okay, well, let's just say the same
thing. No, we can say the same thing, but I was thinking somewhere along the lines of maybe that's why they bombed it. Maybe that, because you know they were sitting around.
Yep.
And they were going, oh, where we could bomb there, there, or there, or there. He might have gone, I want to bomb it because that's where I had my honeymoon, or I don't want to bomb it because that's where I did have my honeymoon.
Oh, you know, cause, wow. Yeah, okay.
Because it was there one who, I mean, I get, is it, we think, well, it must, was there one guy who decided?
No, it would have been the president at the time was not Eisenhower, Truman, maybe. And he would have had ministers. It'd be like now you have a defense minister, you'd have generals. It'd be about four or five of them.
Are we going to drop a bomb? Well, you work it out.
And no, then the president will get involved.
You reckon I reckon it was one guy.
He'd have experts. I reckon there'd be five or six of them. I reckon it's like in the movies. There'd be the head of the Navy, the head of the
And they'd have a vote.
Yeah, they'd have a vote.
Well, that theory doesn't work then. But anyway, maybe we'll just see. But it might be – because honeymoon and a bombing – we're assuming that it is about the bomb. Maybe it's just a place that people like to go on honeymoon.
No, I think it's you got to say Nagasaki. Okay. It's like one of those places which is just associated with a.
I'm going to say they bombed it because he wasn't happy about he had his honeymoon there.
What a comeback! What a revenge!
I'll show you for not putting towels on the bed.
Yeah. Your salad was no good. Your eggs were runny. I wanted them hard. All right, Sam, give us the answer.
Kyoto was spared because of a personal intervention. The U.S. Secretary of War, Henry L. Stimson, did not think it should be bombed. He didn't think it should be bombed because he spent his honeymoon there and had a special affection for the city. He managed to convince the president to change his mind and the city that was inevitably bombed.
Oh!
So you were right. You were almost right.
Yeah.
So how's that? Because apparently it's beautiful, Kyoto. It's all the ancient Japanese buildings. All right, so we think Kyoto. Hang on a minute.
I had a lovely time there. Maybe can we – why don't you want to bomb it? Well, I had my honeymoon there. I get over it. Don't be such a sook.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So where would you stop a bombing preventing then? Where is somewhere that you've been that you've really liked? Would you stop Bali, you know, or Thailand? Or
what, within Australia or internationally?
Yeah, anywhere.
Okay. Well, New Zealand, I somewhere in New Zealand, Queenstown.
No bombs on Queenstown?
No bombs on Queenstown. Okay. If I had to, you're asking me.
But Wellington, go for your life? Dunedin?
Well, poor New Zealand cops it with the bloody
earthquakes in Christchurch
and stuff. Australia.
I'd be
batting to be stop all the bombs. What about you in New Zealand?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean,
you can go all the classics. You don't want to.
What I'd reckon? I'd say, guys, I'm going to sit this one out. Just I'll get you a coffee. Who wants a coffee?
You can't cop out.
Oh, okay, you can't cop out.
So there's one place that you would go, I'm going to preserve that place forever because I had a good feeling
there. Well, Paris is a good example of when the Nazis left Paris, Hitler said to the general in charge, mate, raise this joint, destroy it.
Really? Right?
Okay. You raise this joint, you destroy it, yeah? And the general just goes on the phone, yeah, no worries, Adolf, I'll see you back in Berlin. And he went, no, I'm not doing it, because he loved it so much.
Ah, yeah, it's quite common.
Yeah, he just went, all right, let's go, boys.
Well, if you could.
We're backing out. We're backing out.
Don't tell Hitler.
Don't tell Hitler.
Because he'll be really upset.
If he asks, say that we raised the joint. I suppose no internet back then.
It would be unfair to ask you, where would you?
Where would you bomb? Yeah
you can't. That's fair. Unfair, isn't it?
Well, you can have a crack if you've had a bad experience somewhere, but often I'm just thinking of bad gigs I've done in places, but that's not their fault, you know?
I mean, okay, I'll make it easier. Bomb, no loss of life.
Oh, okay.
I've got one.
Okay.
Oh. Where I go? Oh, man, might have listeners up there.
Oh, where?
Gold Coast?
Goldie.
But then again, I was at the Gold Coast. We went there
parts
for
of the Gold like, Coast.
Yeah, parts of the Gold Coast are all right.
Down the bottom there.
When there's too much...
Burly heads.
When there's too much high rise.
Oh, man.
Right on the coast.
I did a gig there once, and they said, at the Gold Coast Arts Centre, which is like an oxymoron. It was like a gig in a beer garden. Anyway, the woman goes, we've put you up in the centre of surfers, in the middle of all the action. I'm like, why would I want to be... And she, I lie in bed... There was like screaming, bottle smashing, horns going off.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's not such a bad suggestion. Nice beach, though. Keep the beach.
The beach is probably one of the most dangerous beaches in the country.
Oh, is it? The Gold Coast?
Oh. The day I was there at the Logies, because I went to the Logies, because I was nominated for Ross McCoy, didn't win anything, whatever.
Oh, should have.
Yeah, should have. The beach was closed. Closed. Closed, closed, closed.
Why?
Because it was so dangerous.
Oh.
And I said to the guy, could I...
I'm Russell Coy.
Can I do my, he goes, oh, you can go in. So I was allowed to go in for a swim.
You were allowed to go in?
I could go in. And I said, I won't go too far. He goes, that's fine. But yeah, only because... Well, it wasn't because it was me. He's going, you can go in.
But we don't recommend
it. What he's saying is, I think if you go in, we're not going to save you. Wow. If you wait, because...
It's like insurance stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, no, I think they would have saved me.
You'd hope so. National treasure.
So I only went in. I only went in.
And was, did it feel dangerous?
Oh, incredibly.
Really?
Oh, like so. It was so much movement of water, like and riding close. And it was, and what happens that often when that does that, a big trough will be created just off the off the waterline.
Mm.
So you go straight into deep water, and once you're in there, and then once you fight against it.
The old man of the sea, Glenn Ross.
Oh, look, I could tell you some stories. I went to the chiropractor last night.
Oh, yeah.
And my back's been really sore.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go to the chiropractor and your back's really sore, it's kind of really intimidating because it could really hurt.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got this new image that I use now. Because when you get caught, when you're in the surf and you get dumped.
God, it can hurt your back.
Well, what you've got to do is when you go under the water, you can't panic because once you panic, you've got to actually just float and then you will work out where you are and you'll come to the surface eventually. But if you panic, you'll run out of breath. And so at the worst moment, you've got to actually relax. So just as about he was about to go crack with my back, I just went, I'm floating in the ocean.
Oh, wow, I'm floating just
letting,
in the ocean. Just
letting go.
Crack.
Letting go. And it went crack and it went crack. It was good. Helped my back. Back's still a bit sore today, but anyway, it's very, very satisfying. So
you know what, honeymoon, you got a shagger's back.
Call back.
I did a gig in Swan Hill the other day, and this old guy older than us comes up and goes, "Hey, young Dave, you're a mad rooter, are you, mate? You're a mad rooter." It's like, inappropriate. And then he just kept talking about that, right? And I'm just like, oh, I got to get away. Patty, his name was. And I was with Barry Michael, the boxer. You know, Barry, he's a boxer.
Yeah, he's
a great guy.
What were you doing with him?
He was giving a talk at this lunch, and I was the host of the comic relief, right?
Yeah.
At the racetrack. It was a good, fun day. Anyway, so Barry gives his talk about, he's got amazing stories, Barry. And this Paddy, I see Paddy approaching him, and he goes, "One question, Barry. All that knocking about, does that stop you doing mad rooting?"
I think it's his calling card.
That's his calling
card. He could, on his card, he'll have, you know, Chris the mad rooter.
What an opening line to people. Are you a mad rooter? And I go, I'm married. He goes, yeah, I know that, but you're still a mad rooter.
You go, this is not going anywhere. I mean, you used to be a mad rooter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not
that it's a bad... I mean, a mad rooter is... what is a mad rooter?
That's something that's a bit crazy.
It means you'll have sex anytime.
I think that's what he was suggesting.
Well, we've finished the podcast. We normally go out for burgers.
For lunch, but...
Would you... If I can organise something for you.
Yeah, because I'm a mad rooter. I'm a mad eater, that's for sure.